Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm laughing. The boss stepped in for a minute and had me laughing. I'm sorry. This is not funny stuff. My head's spinning about, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, the Middle East. I had to grab someone who's lived it, quite frankly. I had to grab someone who I know has a strong opinion about this. And I clearly need him to jump in here. Because so much is going on in Afghanistan, and I am not the right guy to ask. But Guy Reschenthaler is. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Marty, good morning. Thanks for having me on. I wish it was a better topic, but here's where we are. And let me just say this. I think that at this point, we need to stop second-guessing what we're doing. We need to stop pointing fingers, and we need to focus on the mission at hand. And Marty, that mission is very clear. There's still roughly 1,500 Americans on the ground. And we've got arguably tens of thousands of our allies that are there waiting to get evacuated. That really needs to be our focus. And we've got a problem with this August 31 deadline where we're not going to hit it. So we need to press the administration to expand that deadline in order for us to do a full effective evacuation.
Guy Reschenthaler, hey, man. So if folks don't know this, you lived this. You actually prosecuted a terrorist in Iraq. You know this game. And so help me with something, man. This blows me away. Using a cliche, sir, we are literally sleeping with the enemy. We are now relying on the Taliban as our partners. In fact, according to the Wall Street Journal and NBC, the leader of the Taliban in Kabul right now has a $5 million reward on his head for terrorism. Guy, how the hell do we trust these people, and do we have to rely on them, sir?
Well, unfortunately, until we take back the Bagram Air Base, which we should never have given up, but again, I didn't want to point fingers.
Right.
But until we do that, we do have to rely on the Taliban. And Marty, they cannot be relied upon. They're terrorists by definition. We also have given a list to the Taliban of all our allies, all the Americans on the ground, all our assets that we're providing our intel community with information. We handed that to the Taliban. I mean, that is a death sentence for those people if they get caught. And now it's a list for the Taliban to go out and hunt these people down and kill them. But if I could just step back and talk about my own experience. And look, I was never in Afghanistan.
Right.
I was in Iraq
right.
for the first time for 6 months, and I was back another time. But when you're there and you're working with an interpreter, these interpreters are putting their lives in your hands, and you're putting it in theirs. And that sounds cliche, but that is absolutely the truth. And you're dependent on them when you go into meetings, especially when you're in the red zone, to not only translate but also put things in context of who you can believe, who you can't, how you conduct yourself in the meeting, how not to offend, because there's so many cultural tells that you're not picking up. And you get incredibly close to these people. They share our values. They are pro-American. They're pro-West. They're pro-democracy. And just to put this in perspective, I've got a very important family event coming up next month, late in the month.
Right.
It's family only. But you know who's coming to that? my interpreter from Iraq. Mm. And he celebrated Christmas with us, Thanksgiving. He's truly viewed as part of the family because we got that close in Iraq, and we still continue to be great friends. But I can give you numerous examples, but that's why I cringe when people say, why should we care about our allies on the ground? It's because these guys fought alongside us, put their trust in not only us as the soldier, the sailor, Marine on the ground, but they believed in our system of government and believed in the truth and honor of the American way.
I think it's spot on. Hey, let's be frank. That interpreter is family to you. That's what you're saying here, right?
Without a doubt, yes.
Without a doubt. And at the end of the day, they should be protected. Help me with this, because you were in the middle of this. In Iraq, we cannot wrap our arms around regular folks, idiots like myself. For 24 hours, Guy, Congressman, we were told there's going to be an attack. There's going to be an attack. So we knew. So your average American on the streets wants to know, we knew the train was coming down the tracks. How the hell did we get run over by the train with 13 Americans killed? How does that happen, sir?
It's simple, because we are in a vulnerable position where we have given the Taliban situational control of the Kabul airstrip. And again, Marty, as always, please just call me Guy. But Marty, you know me. I did not intend to come on today and blame fingers. Now's not the time.
No. I'm not asking you to. But, I want perspective, though.
My perspective is this. Any junior ROTC student in high school, any first-year second lieutenant in the Marines could tell you, you don't give up your air base before an evacuation. It would have been like giving up the 9/11th Air Wing for the Pittsburgh International Airport. Even worse, because that airport is a third-world airport with no perimeter.
That's right.
You gave up a secure defensive base. Also, you now have no place to conduct, unless you're off an aircraft carrier. We got kicked out of our bases in Pakistan now, but to conduct airstrikes. So we can still conduct the airstrikes, but it would have been much better for surveillance and for airstrikes to be conducted out of the Bagram Air Base. Additionally, and this is not what's being reported in the media, which drives me nuts,
right,
is we have a heavy reliance on HI, human intelligence.
Right.
We don't have any human intelligence in the provincial areas of Afghanistan. We may have them around Kabul here and there, but those people are getting killed. They're frantically trying to get in the airport. So we've lost our eyes and ears on the ground. We may have satellites, but those satellites are not giving us an accurate picture of what's going on. So I think that we need to retake the Bagram Air Base. This is not going to be easy to do. But if we want to get all the Americans out, our only option is to retake that Bagram Air Base. The other option, which will not work, is trying to appease the Taliban, perhaps pay off the Taliban. I'm not for that option. I am not for that option. But Biden has paid, when he was vice president, paid off the Iranians with literally billions of dollars. I suspect that as we get further away from this and more facts come out, we are probably paying the Taliban, the administration.
Well, we paid it. Well, come on, man. We paid billions during the war in Iraq, too. I mean, this is common knowledge. And I agree. It's absurd, though.
Marty, it's different. But let me just close this. Let me just close the loop. Even if we continue to pay them, which I don't agree with,
right,
the Taliban themselves can't control the ground,
right,
because Al-Qaeda is coming in,
right,
and ISIS. And when you think about it, let me just make this comparison. These three groups are not equal groups. The Taliban is in essence a group of highly organized street thugs.
Right.
They're great at pressuring civilians. ISIS and Al-Qaeda is a paramilitary or militaristic group of basically guerrilla fighters with a lot more training, a lot more equipment, a lot more sophistication. So it's very possible that, I wouldn't say very possible, but if we rely on the Taliban may not be able to control attacks that ISIS and Al-Qaeda are perpetrating. So again, that's why I revert to the only way we're really going to hit this debt, we're going to get the Americans out, is say we're not going to honor that deadline. We're going to retake Bagram and have limited kinetic operations on the ground.
Is there any intelligence that you're hearing, sir, that there's any plan at all to retake Bagram?
No, in fact, quite the opposite.
Right.
From what I'm hearing through back channels, that folks in the military are saying we should have retained it or we need to retake it. And the White House is saying, absolutely not. The sad irony, Marty, is that the White House feared two things more than anything else. They feared a Saigon-style evacuation.
Yes.
Well, we now have that. They also fear a Black Hawk Down situation. We may not have had the Black Hawk Down situation, but we certainly had a Lebanon bombing style situation.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday.
Yes, sir.
There are no good options other than unless you want to forfeit 1,500 Americans and tens of thousands of allies to the enemy. There's no other option, in my point of view, than to taking the Bagram Air Base.
Hey, I got to keep him a couple more minutes. This is important stuff. Should we stick to this deadline, sir?
No, Marty, because we can't. There's no way. We can't. Either we stick to the deadline and we leave and leave all these Americans behind, or we extend the deadline and we retake the base and get the Americans out. It's an either-or equation. And even the top military brass in these briefings is telling us that.
You have come on here and said, which I respect, and tomorrow, I'm not pointing fingers. I don't feel comfortable with folks saying Biden should resign. There is no time for that right now, is there, sir?
Not at the present moment. No, look, I did say Biden should resign. I also said Milley should resign,
right,
and Blinken, and I
right.
can get into that. But right now, during the next 48 hours, we got to put that aside, and we got to focus on getting our people out of it.
But if Biden resigns, then Reagan should have resigned, right? And Carter should have resigned, right, based on the hostage situation? And Obama should have resigned, and Bush should have resigned post 9/11. Where does it end, sir? That's when it becomes political, only political, right? Right?
It's just not this situation. It's also that this was not an unforeseen attack. There was, again, giving up the Bagram Air Base was a huge military disaster. There was just completely ignoring the intelligence community. There's also a callous disregard for the interpreters that I'm seeing from the White House. And there's also a cavalier attitude toward the men and women being left behind. You had Jen Psaki saying just a few hours ago that the Americans that are still there want to be left there. That is nonsense. Anybody I'm talking to on the ground says that people are stampeding. 2 days ago, I was talking to an individual who was working with an asset on the ground that was literally hiding in a sewage ditch, and we were trying to call the Marines on the ground to open a particular gate to let it in. This transcends what has happened in the past, not only in scale, but military blunder. There's also a lot of other factors that are going on with General Milley and General Austin, where they're focused on
right.
teaching critical race theory. There's more.
No, let's not get into that.
I really want to focus on getting Americans out.
Right.
That should be everybody's focus in the next 2 days.
Congressman, I appreciate you, man. Thank you for coming on late notice.
Hey, thanks, Marty.
All right. Guy Ressenthaler.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.